Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Have you ever had the experience of feeling that you're the odd person out? You have to attend a professional meeting or something you feel you should attend but would rather skip. You can't. You have to attend. Others stand around talking, laughing, and conversing. You stand in the back of the room, alone and intimidated, looking for the exit, thinking about only getting away. What you really want to do is escape as fast as possible. That's the same frustration that keeps some people on the outside of the church, the loner, not thinking they fit, yet desperately wanting a relationship with God and other authentic, genuine people with the same fears, frustrations, dreams, and hopes that they have. Luke, describing the dynamics of first century Christianity, says that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Four elements were present. Doctrine, that's biblical teaching. Fellowship, interaction between believers, the breaking of bread, probably communion, and yes, prayer, touching God for their needs, His protection, His will, and His purpose. Has the church failed to maintain those dynamics? Some have, but others are rediscovering them. Among them are small groups of people who have abandoned traditional churches, opting for mini churches, no less than house churches, where a group of anywhere from half a dozen to three times that number meet in the warmth of a home and practice their faith. No, they're not in communist or Islamic countries, rather in major metropolitan areas. Driving past the buildings called churches, they opt for the warmth of a small fellowship that they call my church. Missing in many traditional churches is the element known as fellowship. The Greek word koinonia, usually translated as fellowship, was used three ways in the first century. Yes, of course, the traditional meaning of personal interaction was primary, but the same word was used of intimacy in marriage, where two people were deeply committed to each other. It was also used of the wrapping of a scroll around a central shaft, much as we would describe the closeness of pages at the binding of a book. G. Campbell Morgan, the British pastor, wrote, "The ordinance of fellowship we have too much neglected. It has become very difficult for Christian people to talk of the things of Christ to each other. They meet together in ordinary life and they talk of everything except the deepest things of their spiritual life." Following the resurrection, in those 40 days that Jesus was here before his ascension, he both had fellowship and ate and drank with the disciples. If you go to church and feel like the odd person out, the one I described at the beginning of today's commentary, I suggest you begin looking for a fellowship where you can join in worship, commitment, and fellowship, and grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's all part of what God intended for you as His child. A final thought. God created us with a need for fellowship, both with others and with Him as well. Remember, in the cool of the evening, God came down and had fellowship with Adam and Eve. God not only puts the need for fellowship into our lives, He designed the solution to that need as well. That's where a relationship with Him comes into the picture, with one another, and certainly with our Heavenly Father.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.